Ace Podcast.
Coming up on this episode, Brian Berg claims he was hit and seriously injured by a porta potty.
You know what he had?
Like a Skittles coma.
He had a rainbow connection.
Yeah. Oh! She also told officers they were profiling her because she was white and ugly.
All this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10, 9, 10, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone, the podcast that brings you the best in strange news, weird stories, plain old funny stuff, twice a week, Craig. My name's Aaron.
And I'm Craig.
And we're coming to you from Lee Berry Studios, just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, as usual.
Yes, and we got a stack of stories that we got to get to because we got so many.
Yeah.
And we're so excited.
The first one?
Can you tell I'm excited?
First one's top story.
That's top story.
Top story.
California man's two vehicles crushed by different trees in different cities on the same day.
That would happen to me.
Sounds like it. Definitely for me.
Yeah.
A California man whose vehicles were both crushed by trees in different cities on the same day says he feels like the luckiest guy in the world.
He feels like what?
Why does he feel like he's lucky?
That doesn't make sense.
Georgie Karpekin said he was at Sacramento City College when strong winds swept over the area Wednesday, leading to an unfortunate discovery in the parking lot. There's so much that could be said there.
Oh.
I woke up to my truck and I saw it was tacoed around a tree.
What does that mean? He's tacoed around a tree?
I guess like a taco shell wrapped around delicious beef.
Georgie, did you say, I said taco around a tree? Thank you, Georgie. What does that mean exactly? You want taco around the tree.
Anyway, Carmackin's truck was indeed tacoed. A fallen tree had reformed the pickup. Reformed? Said it like, yeah. It changed its mind. It had reformed the pickup into the shape of a taco shell.
Good
okay,
grief.
I'm thinking a horseshoe.
That's some serious wind if you're going to wrap a tree wrap, or a car around
I'm thinking of a lot of things other than taco.
Yeah, but maybe now, he was hungry.
No, I'm hungry.
Now me too.
Karpekin got a ride to his West Sacramento home where he made another shocking discovery.
No way.
Another tree had fallen on two vehicles parked in front of his house, including his own car.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and then I come home and the other two cars, my luck. I bought a lottery ticket. It didn't win, but Karpekin said, I feel like I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Why? I came out alive. Everything is fine. My insurance is covering it. There's no other way to look at it, right?
Well, I could look at it another way.
You know, life's full of peaks and valleys, man, Karpekin said. He said, man.
Karpekin said on Facebook that damage to the car parked outside his home wasn't as severe as the truck because it was more like wrapped up like a burrito than a taco. And will soon be completely repaired. It was like a chalupa.
Drop the chalupa.
You can't help but laugh, he wrote of the ordeal.
I could probably help, but I laughed.
I don't know. Well, because we were laughing at his...
You think that guy's unlucky? What do you hear about this guy? Headline is, British cop used a taser on a black man they thought was a robber. He was their race relations advisor.
That's going to be a hard one to explain.
Judah Abundi has spent the greater part of a decade trying to improve relations between police in southwestern England and the members of his Afro-Caribbean community. Still, all the advocacy and the meetings with the police were ineffective in getting the 63-year-old dreadlocked man out of the predicament he was in earlier this month. Starting at the business end of the police officer's taser.
Staring at the police end.
Isn't that what I said?
You said starting.
Well, Abundi had been.
The problems could start with the end of the taser too.
I think they.
But he was staring at the end of the taser.
Either way, it works.
Okay.
Abundi had been out walking his dog in Bristol, about 120 miles west of London, when officers mistook him for a robbery suspect, according to The Guardian.
Who's he?
He guards the place. They didn't know him, or that he was a founding member of the police department's independent adversary group.
Advisory group?
What did I say? An organization formed to improve police-community relations. So
this is like that day I tried to say concoction, and I kept saying concoction.
No, every day is like that for me. I can't speak.
The listeners know.
Yeah.
We're going to have a GoFundMe.
Randall's the only one that's expressed any sympathy for my speech impediment.
It might be a bit.
So anyway, this guy's out walking his dog, right? And out of the blue, pow, tased, like that. Down on the ground.
Okay, this is not going to be as good as this story. This next story is what I would call a classic two middle-aged dude story.
Really?
It's written for this show.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see the headline now.
Cue it up. Golfer sues course, claims he was hit by, guess what?
Poo? Bird poo?
Nope.
What?
Nope. Guess again.
Portable toilet?
Oh, you looked.
I did.
Yeah, portable toilet.
Okay.
Johnny on the spot.
That's something I'd rather be hit with the bird poop.
You know that time that you dove into the Johnny on the spot there?
For your cell phone?
For my cell phone?
Yeah.
You remember that? golfers deal with many hazards on the course, water, trees, and sand traps, to name a few. But an Illinois man, it's hard to say, Illinois man said he never expected a portable toilet to affect his game or his well-being.
Well,
and he has filed a lawsuit for some relief. The man's obviously never been around one of those things.
That's what I was about to say. I've expected it to affect my well-being many times.
Brian Berg claims he was hit and seriously injured by a porta potty that was being hauled by a forklift driver while he played around at suburban Chicago course in August.
This is just too funny.
In a lawsuit filed Wednesday in Cook County Circuit Court, Berg said he was watching his 6-iron approach shot to the 7th green at the Fox Run Golf Links in Elk Grove Village on August 11th. According to the lawsuit, he alleges that a course employee operating a forklift that was carrying a portable toilet was driving blind.
Oh, he shouldn't have been behind the wheel then.
Why'd they hire him? on a golf cart path, and the potty, quote-unquote, completely obscured his view, hitting Berg from behind.
This guy was literally blindsided by portalette.
Yeah, he was literally assaulted by a toilet. After Berg was knocked to the ground by the initial blow, the forklift did not stop, causing him to suffer an injured shoulder, a cut chin, a cracked rib, a bruised bicep, and a large deep bruise to his leg, the lawsuit claims.
And smelly clothing.
And they had several different diseases they haven't identified. Berg also claims he was knocked unconscious by the force of the forklift's blow. Berg filed suit against the Elk Grove Park District, which owns and operates the Fox Run course and the forklift operator.
You know, that's fair.
if it really happened, yeah. He's seeking more than $50,000 in damages and alleges in the lawsuit that the worker was driving, quote-unquote, with complete and utter indifference to the probability that a golfer would be in the path of a porta potty. No, he probably just hates golfers.
If he killed all the gophers.
He's probably gone mad with plaid. He's probably sick and tired of seeing it. He also alleged that the golf course uses unsafe means and methods for transporting toilets.
Well,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, but here, okay. If you're an uppity, snobby little, and I'm talking to you, private clubs, if you're an uppity, snobby private club, right?
Right.
I'm assuming who is it? The district runs it. It's a boxing course.
Cook County.
Either way.
Yeah,
whatever. I'm picking on all golf courses.
Sure, why not? I don't like golf.
If you can afford to make those greens look the way they do, if you can afford all that, can you not afford toilets?
Yeah.
Do you really need nasty portable toilets
Build
all over the place?
Build some toilets.
Build some little brick house.
Our little town has toilets out on the greenway. Just build one.
We don't have any toilets on the greenway.
Well, we should.
Okay, write that down.
Okay.
We'll put that in the next show.
We got portalettes, but they're never towed by I've never seen them being towed by anything, to be honest with you.
Oh, we go dump them over.
Nope. Hey, you like Skittles?
Love Skittles.
You scared me.
Can I have some?
Headline is Mars Incorporated investigating Dodge County Skittles spill.
Why can I not be there? Why is it that...
What would you do?
Why is it that, like, when people are on the interstate and there's, like, a peanut butter truck dumps over and there's jars of peanut butter everywhere?
Yeah.
I'm somewhere across town.
Yeah, me too.
Because you know they're giving you the peanut
butter. Sure, just pick it up.
Just take it because they're going to call it a loss. It's going to be there's peanut butter just everywhere.
You got peanut butter for days.
Why can't I get behind a Nutella truck? I mean, seriously.
That'd be good.
I mean, why can't I get behind a Dairy Queen truck?
Oh, what if there were like, what if they dropped a load?
Buster bars everywhere.
Midwinter.
And we would be grabbing them to save them and do them.
Absolutely.
And to not waste.
Help clean up as well.
But you know where we'd be?
Where?
Nebraska. We'd be somewhere else.
Somewhere warm, probably.
Yeah, we'd be, okay.
Okay, so
anyway,
the headline
so back
again,
to the Skittles that you're going to buy.
Yeah, now. Mars Incorporated is investigating a Dodge County Skittle spill said to be intended for cattle. I didn't know cattle like Skittles.
What?
A mysterious Skittle spill on a Dodge County highway is taking another twist, with Mars Incorporated saying it doesn't know why the discarded candy might have been headed to become cattle feed. I'm going to taste some cattle feed next time and see if I taste a rainbow.
Grass?
The case began...
These cattle are living a little too high on the horse. Hey!
What the?
What does that mean?
The case began when Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt,
Old man Schmidt's boy.
He posted on Facebook this week that hundreds of thousands of Skittles, I guess he estimated,
He counted them.
I don't know. Had been found spilled on the highway south of Beaver Dam.
You've been to Beaver Dam, right?
I have, yeah. I took the dam tour.
Yeah,
It was pretty cool.
They actually show you everything about it.
Show me how it was built.
Yeah.
Nobody died.
I've never in my life been on a dam tour, but if I was going to go on one, I'd probably want to go to the one out west. What's that one?
You're talking about the big one, the Hoover Dam.
Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of a cool one.
The Hoover Dam tour is supposed to be really good, but it takes a while.
Well, go ahead and tell what about this guy now.
So the deputy made the unusual discovery Tuesday. A later update from the sheriff's office said the candy had been in a large cardboard box on a flatbed truck. I bet that was a big.
Box was like leaning over. It was so heavy.
Like a refrigerator box or something. A later update from the sheriff's office, as I just said.
A later update, they still said it still was in a large cardboard box.
Which got soaked by rain and split open.
Okay, there's something's not. Get through this.
Okay, only red Skittles had spilled out. The rest of them stayed in.
The rest of them
did. It's the oddest thing.
Where am I going? I'm staying here.
Only red Skittles had spilled out, and Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt joked in the post that it would be difficult to taste the rainbow in its entirety.
Hey, Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt.
Yeah.
Stick to the police work, not the humor.
This is
what we do here. You just do your
Save thing. It for the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
A variety of food byproducts are commonly used for animal feed, and Skittles maker Mars Incorporated says that it has producers for procedures. I'm sorry.
Horses love sugar cubes and stuff.
Yes,
they love sugar. So why should we not share with the cows?
I think it's fair.
Some Skittles that nobody wanted.
And plus, the milk's a lot sweeter. I don't know if you knew that or not.
In different colors, too.
Yeah, it's like rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
However, the company says the Skittles in question came from a northern Illinois factory that doesn't sell unused products for animal feed. So the mystery does deepen, Craig.
Boom, boom, boom.
We don't know how it ended up as it did, and we are investigating.
This should concern us because they have to know how it ends up in packages we buy at the store.
Yes. Company spokeswoman... Dennis Young.
Oh, no.
Denise Young, not Dennis DeYoung.
Oh.
Denise Young said the Skittles were supposed to be destroyed because of...
Destroyed, not destroyed. Destroyed.
Because a power outage prevented the signature S.
Are you kidding
me? No.
You're telling me that they couldn't sell them in an outlet somewhere, sell them as irregulars, sell them in vending machines because of an S. That shows where we...
That's a problem.
That shows where we are.
That's an issue is what that is. I'd eat them. Do you check your Skittles for S's?
Never. I didn't know they had an S on them, to be honest with you.
I knew it because...
They go in my mouth so fast, they're gone.
Linda Kurtz, a corporate environmental manager at Mars, said the company sells unused candies and ingredients to processors that incorporate them with other materials to make animal feed. She said Mars does not sell directly to farmers, and its procedures follow...
So they're saying that if it was a farm truck, they shouldn't have had it, but it would have been a company like Purina or whoever.
Something, yeah.
They would have been making... Well, maybe this guy bought it sideways.
I think that's what I'm saying. He went by.
He knew somebody.
Yes. He had a connect. He had a Skittle connection.
He was planning on going home and going to a Skittles coma.
He had a rainbow connection.
Yeah. Oh! Yeah.
Kurtz and Mars. Kurtz said Mars determined the spilled Skittles came from its plant west of Chicago in Yorkville, Illinois, which does not sell products for animal feed.
I thought Yorkville would be where the peppermint patties came from.
Don't go back to Yorkville.
You've used that.
Cripp said a specific product would not be used alone, but be mixed with other ingredients.
I feel like they've been telling us the same story over again, but they haven't told us why they were in a big cardboard box, why only the red ones. This is the weird part.
It's a mystery.
Why would only the red ones? Do they have a different sort of like mass to them or something than the rest of them?
Then maybe. You know, they have food coloring that may cause issues, maybe with cattle. I don't know.
Okay.
But all I'm thinking is there's hundreds of thousands of Skittles that could have been enjoyed by the two dudes. Not going to happen.
Okay. So, we had the story once before with the guy who kept wandering into the 7-Eleven or wherever, grabbing the Slurpees and leaving and just...
I
in
love
face,
that guy.
Right? Well, now we got a guy.
Because he held the cup up like, see you
yeah,
later.
Yeah, see what you can do.
I'm taking this.
And lucky he wasn't at that other guy's store that we saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. But anyway, not to go off the
kilter.
Thank you. Yeah. Go off the subject matter.
Off.
So now we got a student arrested for eating bread without paying and assaulting Jimmy John's employees and police.
There's got to be something funny in this story.
No. What happened in Indiana? Nothing funny ever happens there.
That's true.
Ready?
Yeah.
An Indiana University student attacked restaurant employees and police after they accused her of eating a loaf of bread without paying for it, according to Bloomington police.
Good night. I mean, they got good bread and all.
I know. So, I mean, it's whatever. Megan Hines, 21, was arrested Monday evening and charged with two counts of battery of a public safety officer and disorderly conduct. Employees at the Jimmy John's on Kirkwood Avenue called police around 6:30 p.m. to report the theft. They told police that Hines took a loaf of bread and a bag of chips and ate them without paying. When she was confronted, employees said Hines started attacking them.
She was hungry.
She went, "Well, I'm going with the bread. I'm taking every one of you guys out."
She thought it was a sandwich. She grabbed chips and bread.
But not paying is the part.
Right.
But she was just like in the corner with a crazy look on her face. Yeah, where do I go with this? Police said Hines continued her assault on officers when they arrived at the restaurant. She also told officers they were profiling her. Okay, now this part may be true. I'm going to give them this part. I'm going to give her this part. She also told officers they were profiling her because she was white and ugly.
Wait a minute. I'm white and ugly. I ain't never been profiled.
I'm white and nerdy.
Ooh.
An officer was scratched during the assault, and a paramedic reported being hit in the face.
She even went after the paramedics.
Yeah. Hines was taken to the hospital for possible intoxication. She was then booked in the Monroe County Jail. I would think that she was probably hopped up on acid or something. PCP or something.
Yeah, intoxicated.
The stuff you're on all the time, whatever that is.
All right, Craig, guess where we're going.
Oh, a pony ride?
Land of Oranges.
Oh, wait.
Land
UT?
Land of Gators.
Oh, wait. The Florida.
Yes. In Florida, I went dessert. Headline is, Florida woman buys her way into trouble passing off homemade cash. And this
Seems reasonable.
From Craig. You sent me this.
I know.
Well, I just thought
I'm sure probably one of my family members. I don't know.
It came from your phone.
I see a lot of there's a one particular website that I like, and I come across, and never before did I ever see this kind of fun, a lot of weird stories, but here lately there've been some good ones.
Oh, that's a good one. Lake City, Florida. If it were that easy, everybody would be doing it.
What, Lake City, Florida?
Yes.
If it was that easy, what, to live there?
Yes. A Florida woman ended up behind bars after trying to pass off bogus $20 bills that she made herself with a cheap home printer.
The operative here being cheap,
yes.
Home
and printer.
Reminds me of a Beavis and Butthead episode when they Xeroxed the coins and they were just tearing them off and just handing them. How about this?
Lake City cops say 30-year-old Brandy Harden walked into a Walmart last week and tried to pay with a stack of glaringly phony cash. And when the cashier asked her what it was, you know what she said, Greg?
Didn't say anything.
She ran.
Hightailed it.
2 days later, police say Harden left some more of the fake cash as payment for her dinner bill. This time, she didn't give it to a person. She left it on the table.
I'm going to leave a tip.
But you know what else she left? Her cell phone.
Yeah, she left her cell phone. She's not the best.
So that allowed the cops to track her down. Cops found her at the Crystal Inn in Lake City.
The Crystal Meth Inn.
When she opened the door to her room to get her phone back, the officers handed her a bag containing the bogus bucks and asked her what's going on. According to police, Harden immediately became embarrassed and began to stammer as she spoke. She then admitted using the funny money.
She'd been better off to just left and not left anything on the table.
Yes, just, what do they call
it? Including her phone.
What do they call
it? Dine and dash.
Yeah. Officers later discovered numerous counterfeit bills along with blank paper and a printer in her room. It was determined that Harden had not only been passing counterfeit bills.
I doubt she was passing many of them.
No, but unless she'd been eating them.
Yeah.
But that she had been producing them herself. They also found marijuana and drug paraphernalia. She was charged with possession of counterfeit bills, possession of marijuana, and possession of drug equipment.
There was a procession of her possession.
You think she's going to get out of jail soon?
Probably. They'll probably put her in a loony bin.
I don't know,
man. Put her in the Stony Lonesome.
That's Secret Service. You know, she may be in the old Gray Bar Motel for a long time.
Big house.
Yeah, she might not get out of the clink.
We got to do?
Get out of the clink.
We got to do a top 10 list of top 10 names for prison.
Oh, I could write that.
Okay, you ready for the next one?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Watchmaker protests. Swiss-made label makes timepiece out of cheese.
Oh, I saw this. You know what's funny?
What?
It was a good-looking watch.
It was made out of cheese?
Yes.
It doesn't smell, it won't melt, and you can't eat it. But for a price, you can own a timepiece being billed as the most Swiss watch ever.
Yes.
That's thanks to its most distinctive ingredient. Guess what it is?
Cheese Swiss.
Swiss cheese.
Oh!
It's not just a luxury novelty item. It's an act of protest against new rules in Switzerland governing the use of the Swiss-made label. According to the rules, Swiss-made components must account for 60% of the value of the watch. But watchmaker H. Moser and C., I guess, says those rules are open to abuse. How about this? How about if it's Swiss-made, it's all made in Switzerland?
That's what I'm thinking. I think 60% is more than generous.
What's next? They're going to tell Swiss cheese isn't all made in Switzerland?
What's next?
Oh, wait, I bet it's not.
It's probably not.
We decided to use the most precious material that we the material that we have here in Switzerland. So we use cheese to create the case of the watch, and we have a leather band using cow skin.
So here's the deal: that they're in Switzerland. They are Swiss watchmakers,
right? But they're protesting some rules.
Yeah, because they got parts, I'm sure, from all over. And then the government comes in and says, in order to use Swiss-made, it's got to be at least...
Well, I think it should be 60% made. I mean, it should be made at least a that's like American-made, and you look flip it over, it says made in China.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's different.
No, I'm saying it would be the equivalent of...
It
needs to be made there, or it doesn't need to
say... It would be like buying a T-shirt that says made in America, but the material came from China. But it was still made in America.
That's what I just kind of said.
But it's still made in America.
I mean...
My baby is American-made, born and bred in the USA. I don't know if you knew that or not. From her silky long hair to her sexy long legs. My baby's American-made.
You quote stuff all the time, like, and I don't know what you're saying. Especially when it comes to hip-hop and stuff. I never listened to that. And
well, that was the Oak Ridge Boys.
I know, but I'm saying...
You did.
I didn't know it was the Oak Ridge Boys, but I knew it wasn't hip-hop. But I'm saying that you do that most of the time, and I'm like...
You know, that's a bad habit. I do it everywhere.
It's good if you got it. I didn't listen to that stuff.
But the problem is everybody always looks at me like I'm crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So back to what we're saying. I think let's change it up a little bit. They say 60% of the value. I think it should be at least 60-70% of I don't know about the value, but the materials. Why would it be made in Switzerland? I mean, you know, if I'm going to ship parts from America and let them put them together. Well, okay, Apple. If you look on the back of Apple devices, it'll say created in or designed in California.
Yes.
But it doesn't say made there or made in USA
because
it's not. So they cleverly say they put a spin on it.
But what if it was? What if they just got all their chips and stuff from China and made them here in the USA?
Well, that's like everything.
But do you think they should be able to say made in the USA?
I think if it's manufactured, I think if it's put together.
Same deal. They're making these watches in Switzerland.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
That's an interesting.
Fine. I painted myself into a corner. Fine. Are you happy?
Yeah, actually,
are you happy now?
You see me smiling.
Is that what that is?
Oh, boy.
I saw all that facial hair move up and down your head. I don't know what you were doing. Is that a smile?
Go ahead. Call me homeless.
Homeless? Homeless Harry? So we use cheese to create this case of the watch, and we have a leather band using cow skin. The result, Mylan said, is a watch that's 100% Swiss. The cheese in question is Vacheron. The cheese in question is something I can't pronounce.
It's made Swiss
in the village.
Cheese.
Made in the village where Mylan grew up, the cheese was blended with a polymer compound. Well, that's gonna be hard to digest to keep it from spoiling, and also pasteurized.
And I saw it, and it looks fantastic.
Obviously, we don't want it to stink. Mylan said. Do you mean figuratively or
I think both.
Literally? Mylan, who's the fifth generation in a family of watchmakers, says the new labeling rules mean many manufacturers actually assemble their watches in Asia using only a few Swiss parts, meaning the watches aren't really Swiss made at all.
We make a Swiss watch over here.
We feel this is not good enough considering the tradition we have here in Switzerland, the craftsmanship, the people that work on those products, he said. Mylan added that while the Swiss made label may carry some clout abroad. Notice I didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
Actually, there's nobody to control it here in Switzerland, so people are abusing it. That's why the watch is made from cheese and not chocolate, because despite the reputation of Swiss chocolate, cocoa beans, as Mylan pointed out, aren't grown in Switzerland. Plus, it would melt.
Yeah, but the cheese doesn't melt. It's
yeah, cheese probably a little easier to control, though.
And
I'm a cheeseologist.
I'm with him. I think he's got an argument. I mean, I'm not actually with him. He's not here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think he's got a good argument.
I mean, I guess. And here's the thing, too. All these smartwatches that are coming out, haven't they already admitted that it's hurting the Swiss market anyway?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It may not
yeah.
matter soon.
Yeah.
See how neutral they are then.
Hey, guess what?
What?
We got another top 10 list.
You're good, because you know No one heard this last week.
I know. I cut it. We had too much material.
We had a request from someone we'll call Flash Chakas, who asked me one day, said, man, I really missed the top tens. And I said, you know what, Flash? We're going to do this for you.
I'm going to call him that next time.
Flash Chakas.
Yes.
And so, Flash, this one goes out to you.
Top 10 weird jobs that pay surprisingly well.
I don't see podcaster on here.
Are you looking for work? Because you could, I know you, I could juggle. Number 10, professional, no, snuggle. Oh, see, I read it wrong.
I don't want you to do that.
You know that there is a professional snuggling company in Alabama? You could pay somebody to come over to your house and snuggle.
That is weird.
It's so freaky. It's sad is what it is.
Because what do you do? Because I'm sure you don't get to pick the person. So what do? If you get there some?
No, you do. You go on the website and you pick whoever you want.
That could cause a lot of problems.
Yes, it's very dangerous.
Emotional connections with people.
Yeah, I think the one in Alabama might be a front for something else, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Even though this job may sound odd to you, many people pay for this service. The average professional snuggler gets paid a lot of money. I guess so. What if you get there and somebody's all filthy, like mud all over?
Yeah, what about the reverse of that? You get there and they're just skanky.
Oh,
what if you like just, if or they don't bathe. Like you said, they're just gross.
Yes, just nasty.
B.O. I guess you got to be a people person to do this job.
You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't be an introvert.
No.
These professional snugglers usually get paid $60 to $80 an hour for their services.
Number 9, dog food tester.
No thanks. I don't care what it pays.
Taste testing is a common job, but when you think of taste testing, you probably think of tasting human food, but people get paid to taste dog food.
That's disgusting.
Dog food brands hire people to test their dog food and judge it based on things like flavor, nutrition, and they even judge the food by its packaging. Luckily, most dog food testers spit the dog food out before they ingest it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't save you from the flavor.
Nope.
Aside from all the weirdness, they do get paid a ton. Food testers' salary usually around 40,000. No, that's
not a
enough.
Ton.
And also, not to do that for sure.
No. Number 8, water slide tester.
Ooh, you know, sadly, I think I was one of these.
I would do this.
I'll tell you a story.
Well, I don't know. It could be dangerous.
Go ahead. Number 8.
This one isn't so much weird and odd, but absolutely fun and cool. A water slide tester travels to different water parks and tests the slide's performance, how fun it is, and a tester will also tell the water slide company if there are any safety concerns. Yeah, I flipped out.
Yeah, I can't walk now.
I'm concerned about the safety.
Yeah, number 7.
Yeah.
Face feeler.
Ooh.
You probably think this is a made-up job. No, I thought the other ones were too. It's a real job. Face feelers test people who are using things like cleansing products on their face. After someone has used a face product, a face feeler uses their sensory skills to judge the product that's being used. Face feelers are also called sensory scientists. So you can be a scientist who are experts at feeling faces. Face feelers work a few hours a day, and they're paid around $25 an hour.
Number 6,
Boffgall.
Boffgall driver. Golf ball diver.
That's going to have some snakes and alligators.
Oh, yes. If you've watched golf, you know that sometimes the ball is hit into the water. A golf ball diver's job is to go and get the golf balls that fall into the water. Although this job seems easy, it can be extremely dangerous, and you have to have strong muscles in order to drag a large bag of golf balls out of the water.
And I've seen Happy Gilmore.
Yes, me too.
And that alligator.
Yeah, wooden hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number 5.
Yeah.
Line sitters.
I've heard of this one.
You just sit on a line?
Yeah.
Don't you hate when you go somewhere and there's a ton of people in the line? The lines are really, really long. The worst thing is when you have to wait in those lines. Luckily, you can pay someone to wait in line for you. There are many companies that will sit in line so you don't have to. The job sounds boring, but you're basically doing nothing and you're getting paid loads. Some people have even made $1,500 waiting in line for someone who wanted an iPhone.
Number 4 is not weird at all. Personal shopper. Most people enjoy getting clothes and shopping, but sometimes it's hard to make decisions. Personal shoppers give advice on what you should buy. This may seem like an easy job, but it can sometimes be difficult. As a personal shopper, you have to form relationships with your clients and understand their styles. Freelancing personal shoppers usually make about $65 an hour.
Paper towel sniffer, number 3. This job is odd, I'll admit, but you'll be lucky if you get it. This job is really hard to get due to it not having many openings. Paper towel sniffers get paid to smell paper towels to make sure they don't have any weird or odd smells before they're sold. It's extremely hard to get a job sniffing paper towels, and it's said that it's easier to get a job acting in Hollywood. This odd job usually pays around $1,000 a week for smelling paper towels. How cool. What? Why?
Number two,
uh-huh.
Ice cream tester. This job is pretty cool.
I get it. Cool.
Anyone who loves ice cream will probably love this job. Even though anyone can taste ice cream flavors and tell you whether they're good or not, this job can only be done by food scientists. The food scientists are to judge the ice cream based on its taste, color, flavor, smell, texture, and how it looks.
Number one, the final one. Ready?
Yes.
I could do this while standing in line. Live mannequin.
Yes.
This is probably the most boring job around today. These people are paid to stand still for hours. This probably sounds odd.
Don't they all?
Live models can be more effective than the plastic ones. This job is certainly not for any random person. This job requires someone who is able to stand still for hours. Even though the job is hard, it does pay well. Live mannequins usually receive a decent $100 an hour.
That's not bad.
And they put up with total ridicule.
Yeah. But anyway, that's all nice. We got. So make sure you guys tune in next time because you just never know. You might hear Craig say something like,
"Flying fish, they don't really actually fly."
This is it.
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM. Or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.